Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Two fanboys and a filthy casual coming back at you live. I'm hoping that this is sounding really nice.
Yeah, do we sound a little different?
I don't know. Maybe. Lewis, what do you think?
Let us know right now.
Right now.
Right now. Just yell it out loud.
Yeah, or if you're related to us, just text me real quick.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why we're goofing around right now is if you paid attention to the last episode, we kind of mentioned that we were in a transition because not only are we lost and we have no home yet, we're kind of like Stitch and E.T. Which, by the way, is that a theme for like alien movies?
You're right, dude.
Like, I don't know. Have to find their
way. Weren't you both illegal aliens?
Dude, excuse you. Yes, but still.
Wait. Never mind. Mr. Trump.
I don't appreciate being called
Don't
out
build
like
that wall.
Build that wall across the Pacific.
Because that's how Lewis got through.
Yes.
So right now, as you are listening to our dulcet tones, we're actually trying out our new equipment. I mentioned last episode that as a Christmas gift to the podcast, I decided to, just pony up some money and decide to get an actual official audio interface. So hopefully this sounds better. If not, let us know so that I can get my money back.
And if any of you are interested in purchasing our old equipment, i.e. micro USB headphones, please hit us up.
Oh, for
our headphones, microphones, I'm sorry.
For the love of God, please do so.
Because Dennis needs to recoup somehow.
Exactly. tax season, I'm hoping to recoup it somehow. Well, what we're doing today is kind of, we were talking about the rise of Skywalker last time, and you would think that we'd be done with, whole Star Wars thing, but that's how you make money. At least that's what people say.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah, because we haven't been able to do it yet. As obviously, I have not made any money yet so far. But we kind of wanted to touch upon one last Skywalker news, and that one is the rise of Skywalker. No, wait.
No.
The Mandalorian, sorry. Mandalorian was the new series by Disney Plus. We kind of had a great opening with it. We actually had a group of people listen to us for a live watch party.
Yeah.
And the episode 8 just stopped or just dropped a week ago. And we kind of want to touch upon episode 8 and, of course, kind of talk about Mandalorian, the whole series in general. Now, normally this is where I would tell Lewis that it's time for Lewis Views, but it would take too long to go over every single episode of Mandalorian. So, Lewis, how about a description, just for those people that maybe might not know what the Mandalorian is.
Sure. Okay. So an abridged, Lewis Views for the Mandalorian.
Boo, boo, boo.
Is that a new sound because we got a new system?
I thought that was the Mando blaster. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, we'll go with that one. All right. So the story of the Mandalorian is...
new equipment, terrible joke still.
Same old content.
From Lewis. So.
From me. Yeah, you guys will sound great, though.
Yeah.
So for Lewis...
You sound great, too.
I know, but still corny as hell. But
cool. Corny.
Cool.
Corny.
So the Mando, we follow the story of, at least for the first seven episodes, the unnamed Mandalorian bounty hunter who is basically traipsing around the galaxy trying to find jobs or get that money, that sweet Beskar. From Greef Karga, I guess he's a chief of the Bounty Hunter Guild. In the first episode,
So is he Chief Karga?
I hate when you say that because it sounds so totally Filipino. Like, Chief Karga. Like, half the names are like Filipino names. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So in episode one, let's jump right to what made everybody fall in love with the series. The bounty after the end of episode one is a baby Yoda, for a lack of a better term. Then throughout the series, for the next few episodes, we find that the Mandalorian falls basically in love with this little child, basically shadowing what his own experiences are as a, what they call a foundling, which is basically an orphan in galaxy terms, I guess. He goes through many adventures, trying to find his way away from the bounty hunters and from the Empire who want the baby. And not to mention make a little bit of money on the side. So those are most of his adventures. In the last two episodes, episode 7 and 8, just like any good Western or samurai story, we end where we began, back at the cantina where he first got the job, and he is face to face with the Empire and its combined forces. But throughout, through the combined efforts of his friends and the other bounty hunters and folks that he met along the way, he's able to save himself and the baby, and we continue our adventures. So, yeah, lose views. Burp, burp,
burp, burp, burp. That was pretty impressive, actually. Thank you very much. I like that one.
After the Rise of Skywalker one, that was kind of rough, so I apologize for that last week. I was a little rusty, like a trombone. Wow. Sorry. I can't look at that Demogorgon and say rusty trombone because it's just way too loaded.
Too accurate? Are you getting attracted? Are you...
It's a toothy trombone.
Oh man, it's going to get rusty.
So how do you want to do this? Do we want to go episode, or do you want to do the...
We talked about our first impressions after that, opening night for The Mandalorian. So you guys want to talk about, like, overall, all eight episodes have dropped. What do you guys think of the series as a whole? And then maybe what we can do is go, like, which episodes you like the most, what parts stuck out best for you, what stuck out worst. And maybe we can talk about where do you think the Mando season 2 is going to come. Because, spoiler alert, Jon Favreau, creator and, you know, showrunner of the series, has already tweeted that there is going to be a series 2 in 2021, I think.
No, 2020.
Oh, 2020. Oh, wow. Fall 2020. Yeah, so in like a... Wow. That's quick. Okay, so they got to run away.
Disney Plus is not going to survive unless you have shows like The Mandalorian.
That's true.
Because, I mean, as much as we are hyped about the whole system... I mean, what's it called?
Service?
Yeah, service in general. Yeah, I was like, I'm tired. I was like, the whole service in general, it's like basically the only thing that's holding on right now besides... The other shows, I guess the interest in the other shows aren't as strong yet. So.
Oh, no, not yet. Definitely, I mean, that's one of the ads that I saw was, you know, I guess now that the initial Disney Plus subscription is done, they're actually now doing free trial. And that's actually the tagline. You know, watch the full season of first season Mandalorian with Disney Plus free trial.
Oh,
you know, which
the whole time
surprised the crap out of. I know. We do need this. And aside from certain niche, I don't know how you forget. Is it niche?
I use the word niche.
Okay. Aside from niche shows, they really do need, you know, top tier quality shows like this. So I'll start. Eight episodes. At first I thought, I was like, man, you know, eight episodes is going to be seem short. But I think one of the conversations we had during the watch party was that, this is more about quality than quantity. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike other shows where they just keep on dropping things. You know, we kind of talked about. I think it was Lewis and I when we were guest hosts at Geek.io, they had kind of mentioned that, you know, My Little Pony is one of those episodes because it's like, you know, a 30 episode thing. There's some that'll fall through the cracks. I thought all eight episodes, although some were better than others, overall I thought that the eight episodes were pretty solid, and I thought I really liked the way the story progressed. There wasn't really any like lulls or anything like that, and you know, we've already talked about the look of it, the FX budget, although again there's some faults here and there. Overall I thought it was great.
I agree with Dennis. The thing is it's even their bad episodes, they're not really that bad. You know how they have when there's TV shows, it's the first season, so you have to give it some time to walk. Where you kind of, you know, you have to learn a little bit more about it. Like when The Office first opened, the American Office, everyone was like, it's okay. Like the first season of Parks and Rec is meh. But so far, first season starting off pretty strong. First episode starting out strong already. You know, you have the enough Star Wars elements to get, obviously, fans who are the most excited to see it. But you also have, like we talked about, the whole Western thing, the space opera, which is what... the Star Wars universe claims itself to be, and you have interesting storylines. So there's the main storyline, which we have, which is, you know, the Mandalorian, like Lewis said, doing his thing, trying to make money, while at the same time trying to protect the as the marketing efforts have been calling him, the child, which, you know, it's starting to grow on me. Just
it's Baby Yoda.
It's Baby Yoda for everybody else, for everybody, basically. But then, like, everyone keeps arguing he's not Yoda because Yoda's his first name. Or we don't know if Yoda's a last name because, according to Rey, you know, you never know what people's full names are nowadays. But, yeah, just as fun as anything else is the guest stars for me. Like, having as many guest stars. It's kind of like the run of Friends, where Friends would always have these random people show up, and you don't think that they fit into the Friends universe, but apparently when they show up, it's like, oh, it makes sense. Like, the first episode of The Mandalorian, you had Brian Posehn, hardcore Star Wars fan, Horatio Sanz, a guy who ruins skits, and then episode 6, you have Bill Burr, a guy who hates Star Wars, but apparently fits in enough with the Star Wars universe because, you know, he's an Imperial sharpshooter that can actually hit his targets. So, yeah.
For me, I like Harold said, like, it's kind of in the scheme, I think we're kind of spoiled, but in the scheme of things, like, a show finding its legs in the first season, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age where everything's like, I want it now, I want it all, I want it good, because otherwise I'm checked out. So, you know, kudos to Jon Favreau, who, you know, spearheaded this whole thing, and I guess Filoni, I think, is the name of one of the Star Wars show guy. So
he's the Star Wars guru at this point,
right? Yeah, so maybe take Kathleen Kennedy's job for a bit. You know, it's a really quality show, and like you said, quality over quantity. Lots of these half-hour episodic shows are 20-25 episodes a season. I think 8 was just the right size, sample size, to get us into the show, and hopefully, you know, get people set or keeping their subscription to Disney Plus for the long run, and then seeing where this goes.
Oh, well, sorry.
I thought we just talk about what we like. So, like I said, so 8 episodes in, you know, like we said, all of them were pretty quality. But, you know, let's go. What are, like, your personal best either moments, episodes from the show so far? I think we talked enough about episode 1. So let's go, like, you know, anything from 2 to 8, or what did you think about? Excuse me.
Personally, and maybe it's because it was the latest one and they needed to end it strong. Personally, episode 8 was the best one that they had. In terms of, at least for me, there were moments that I really liked. And maybe it's because it was Taika.
I know, that was
okay. Waititi.
Yeah. He's already a star in the movie, in the show.
Yeah.
You know. He was IG-11 to start off in the first episode, and obviously he's got Thor Ragnarok under his belt, and Jojo Rabbit, which I guess is a big critical response. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it yet? Because I thought it is really good. But anyway.
The thing I liked about it, and again, maybe, is this the first episode that Taika
directed?
You know, each episode, and for those people who might not know, you know, it was, each one was directed by pretty much somebody different. Each one kind of had its own flavor and distinctive tone to it. You know, for the others, I hate to say it, but it seemed, and not in a bad way, but it seemed like a one-note thing. It was an action one. It was a contemplative one. You know, each one had different its own style. But the one thing I liked about episode 8, and maybe I should have gone later on, but the one thing I liked about episode 8 was the mixture of styles. Because of Taika, you had the humor at the very beginning, where it's two stormtroopers who are sitting there, one of them wanted to see Baby Yoda, the other one was like, no, don't do it, you know. And you would think at first, like, oh, okay, that's kind of cute. And then the fact that they go back to it again, and you have the stormtroopers, you know, playing out a joke that we've always talked about.
Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that they can't hit that small can. Yeah. And I was sitting there going, oh my God, you have a showdown that's happening right now, but you're still able to come back with something funny, yet it didn't distract from the whole thing.
Right.
In a way, it kind of helped me You know, because it was, if we, like, I remember watching episode 7 at the end of the whole thing. How are we going to get through this? Mm-hmm. You know, the whole episode is just going to be one long, like, you know, suspense thing. But no, that's what happened, was that he was able to kind of use the what he's learned from, like, Jojo Rabbit. From he did Jojo Rabbit, right?
Yes.
Jojo Rabbit, what he did with Thor Ragnarok. You have the humor, you have the action sequences, and I thought it worked really well.
You know what's funny about that, too, is... I was talking to you guys in the chat when I was watching the episode at work. I'm sorry. But when I was watching it, I was like, is this a mistake? Is this a blooper? Is this like some kind of a prank?
Yeah.
Like, did they do a prank episode as the final episode? I was like, because I seen all the other spoilers online where it was just like, oh, there's this big thing that's going to happen. It's going to be a big reveal or something to that effect. And then I was just like, are they pranking the whole internet? Because... all I'm seeing right now is a joke, and which I thoroughly enjoyed. But I was like, does it progress into an actual episode from here? And then it did, and it made so much sense. I mean, it didn't make sense, but it made sense. You know what I mean?
No,
and yeah, paying off one of the best jokes of all time. First of all, having Bill Burr acknowledge that he was an Imperial sharpshooter and not a stormtrooper.
He was so angry at that implication.
Yeah, and it was just like, whoa. And then they have them outright literally can't hit the thing, and... you know, two comedians who I actually really like, Jason Sudeikis, Adam Pally. Sudeikis, obviously the luckiest man in the world because he's married to Olivia Wilde. Adam Pally, great because he was the camera guy in Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
With Tony Stark's
Yeah, and he's just like, hey, I'm trying to look like you. And so, and then it's just funny, you know, Favreau brings him in back into the Star Wars world for that. And the show in general, like I said, having... no real main cast besides the Mandalorian, mm-hmm. besides Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which I didn't think after her first episode she was going to be back for more, but, you know, Cara Dune, mm-hmm. Gina Carano. And like I was telling you guys before, I didn't think when it started it was going to be a series of rotating cast members. Like that they would all, you know.
You thought so or you didn't think
I didn't so? Think. Like okay. When they said, oh, Ming-Na Wen's going to be in the show, I was like, oh, you know, she has like a permanent spot. Same thing with Bill Burr, but literally they're all one-offs. And it's fun because you imagine that the universe is that big that you're only going to see a certain character one time. And that's the other thing that's still kind of bothering me yet, is that hasn't been paid off yet, is who took, you know, Ming-Na Wen's body.
That was a question I had actually on my short list, is that was kind of a plot line that... they kind of left hanging. Maybe they'll explore it in season 2.
Oh, they better.
Because I mean, I love Ming-Na Wen. I'm not saying that she's like, you know, superstar of all, but having her as a one-off seemed kind of like shorting her a little bit. So hopefully she does return to season 2. Hopefully we do get an explanation who that person was that walked up to her body with a cape. I mean, part of me feels like maybe it is Moff Gideon, who's... was introduced in season 7, or I'm sorry, episode 7 and 8.
But dude, I didn't think about that. That it could be.
It could be, but I'm hoping it's not. Because it's kind of like,
you heard the other thing, obviously, right?
Yes, yeah, I've heard some of it.
We talked about it before.
Yeah, so some of the... I mean, we can talk about it. I guess. Yeah. It's just rumor. It's not like we're spoiling anything.
Yeah.
But Boba Fett, I think, is one of the rumored. And then who else was on the short list of people that were saying...
I think that's mostly anything, okay. Because...
well, anytime it's Mandalorian, it's always going to be...
yeah, it goes back to Boba Fett,
you know?
Yeah.
But since we're in discussing episode 8, and again, by the way, we haven't said it, spoiler alert.
No, a little bit too late.
A little too late. But, you know, one of the scenes in that episode is you get to see exactly what happened to Mando... the tragedy that occurred earlier in his life, but there's a Mandalorian that saves him.
Mm-hmm.
Did that remotely look like Boba Fett by any chance? Like, is there, or maybe that's the person that Ming-Na Wen, like the ghost of Ming-Na Wen. I don't know. The only thing
I was really looking for. Like characteristics or, you know, appearances.
Well, he had that, or is that there's a little antenna? Because
there was another guy who had the same thing. Oh, okay. Though. Like when he was flying off on the other side. My question to you guys, and obviously this is a spoiler, but do you think it was a mistake showing the Mandalorian's face?
A bit. I think it was a little bit of a letdown personally.
Because you know what he looks like?
Exactly. I was like, oh, that's it. Because, I mean, I love Pedro Pascal. I mean...
Dirty Pedro.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yes! And, you know,
brought it in. He was, you know, he was in, what was it, Kingsman. He was one of the statesmen. He was also in Game of Thrones for a bit. So, you know what he looks like. And he's going to be in a Wonder Woman sequel this coming summer. So, you know, we know what he looks like. Part of me kind of felt like... I was hoping he was going to be a little bit more messed up. I mean, it seems very...
Scars and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, it seemed very masochistic. Yeah.
He just looked like he was dirty.
You know, he doesn't have any scars.
Football under that helmet, so his hair was all matted down. So I'm like, all right, you played a couple rounds.
You know why he doesn't have any scars, all right?
Why?
Because he's wearing a helmet.
And he never takes it off.
If he never takes it off...
Got it.
Like, you can punch Dennis in the face all you want if he's got a helmet on. No scars. I mean, maybe, like, unless you got, like, super hands, which, according to your wife, you don't.
No. Come on, man.
Yeah, your hands are kind of soft, dude. It'll lessen the blow.
Yeah, it actually be like a sweet massage.
Like, yes.
I got beer cat hands, dude. They're very sensitive.
At least if you got beer cat hands. Like, beer cat.
Oh, man. Okay, well, for me, one of my favorite episodes, I know, yeah, like, I kind of want to count episode 7 and 8 as kind of like one episode because it was like, it basically felt like a movie. And everything like that, but personally, I think I liked the one I liked best had to be the one. Okay, it's called Sanctuary. There's an episode where it's an old Western / samurai trope when they have to save the village.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
You know, it was episode 4, so it's half in the first half of the season where we basically find out. I mean, it sounded very cliche. It's like, oh, of course the old warrior has to protect this hapless village from. This high-tech and overwhelming force, but they pull it off. So, but it worked because it characterized, it, you know, helped characterize Mando or humanize him a little bit more. Because yes, he does empathize with the baby. Yes, we find out that he himself was also an orphan or a foundling. So maybe that's one of the biggest reasons why he feels this sympathy for this little, this green child. But he's also a hero deep down inside. Maybe the things he goes through in life, being saved by the Mandalorian. It makes him want to be a hero as well. And I'm a sucker for those dumb, training montages where you have a village of farmers or krill farmers, trying to fight with sticks and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that part in Mulan when, all those guys are trying to shoot arrows and it's like, haha, they're hapless.
Also, don't forget that during that episode, we find out that there's Filipinos in space.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, of course, they have to be farmers, but it's cool, man.
Did you really have to be in rice paddies?
No, like when they
a little on the nose. There,
so the dude that does that, he's also on The Good Place.
But I
he's
heard,
like, but so he's you... like, he's like a total douche.
Oh.
He's like the main one of the main character's best friends, and he helps him into all his criminal activities and stuff. But they're both morons. But so they have like a secret handshake. So people were saying like when the Mandalorian showed up, what if he did the handshake? And I've been picturing that in my head. So if someone wants to make that for me, that's my fan fiction.
Just put Mando's head in the Good Place for Harold. So that's one of my favorite episodes. So on the flip side,
we talked about
and season. He hasn't said his
favorite. Oh, no, I'll talk about
that. Oh, my bad. Yeah,
it's
go
the
ahead.
Same. But episode 8, we talked about this earlier. The best line of the whole episode?
I'm the spy.
No. That too. That's the best line of all the Star Wars universe.
But rest in peace, Hux.
The best line of when he's talking to Grief, and then he's like, "Oh, you weren't born. You're not born a Mandalorian."
Oh, Mandalorian's not a race, or
it's not a race.
It's a creed.
Damn it!
How did you not see that one?
An Apollo Creed. I was waiting for James Brown to start playing. Living in America.
Wait, get out of this. Get out of this.
Damn it. I literally wrote that as soon as I heard it.
I give you my Rocky card, dude, because I don't deserve.
No, the best part, too, is I watch it with the captions on, so of course Creed is capitalized. So I'm like, it's right there.
That's even worse.
Like, I wonder if when he first read that, he kind of went,
I know.
What if they didn't even tell him and he just went,
I know.
First, I'm reading the notes here. Do you know what Cara Dune's full first name is?
Yes, I have that note too.
It's actually, that's a cool name that I would totally name a kid if I ever found one. Cara Cynthia.
Cara Cynthia?
Yeah.
Sounds like a flower.
Sounds like one of your names that we came up with during the podcast, like Billiam.
It's literally like, her name is Cara, or her name is Cynthia. Cara Cynthia.
Wait, she's Filipino?
Her parents are named Caral.
His dad's Caras
and Cynthia. Carrasco. Carrasco and Cynthia.
I saw that too. I'm like, dude, that's a name that you guys would come up with.
You know what? I'd like, I liked episode 7 a lot. You know, you guys are using 7 and 8. But I really liked the first episode more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And also the episode with Bill Burr, just because the guy who gets everybody together is Mark Boone. I don't know what his name is in the show, but he was in Sons of Anarchy. So like in my head right away, I was like, he's going to betray you, bro. He is going to double cross you. I don't know what he's going to do, but something bad is going to happen to you because Bobby Elvis never does anything great. And that whole episode was just different because it was like, hey, this is, you know, kind of what you were doing in the past as a group, you know, coming together to do like missions and stuff. And then they backstab him. And just that action sequence was like, I think out of all of them, besides the last episode, that's my favorite action sequence of the whole show. Just because it was a very great callback to A New Hope. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like you're trying to break a prisoner out of prison. And, you know, you have all these Imperial guards to get around. They even had the little cars that were like...
little RC things, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, we talked about great callbacks deservedly throughout the series, and I think that was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I really like that action sequence in the hallway where what I like about this, the way that they showed the Mando, is that he's not invincible per se. I mean, he did
a total opposite, dude.
Yeah, he totally.
But you would think that going into the series,
right?
I mean, obviously the precedent with Boba being really so easily dispatched by an accident.
Yeah, by a smack to the rock.
Yeah, getting getting hit by in the back, an accident. And but you would, from all the marketing materials and from all the other previous things, you'd figure that these guys are pretty much invincible. Nothing touches them. Nothing hurts them. They can get through anything. They have the strategy to get out of any battle. And literally, it's like, nah, man. He can't really do much more than a regular person can do.
Yeah. So he got bailed out by his, you know, leveled up armor so many times because every so often he'll get like shot.
Yeah, every single episode.
He gets shot, he gets punched, he gets knocked down. So a lot of fun.
Did you think it was weird that in episode 8, he's nearly dying, the child doesn't do the healing thing?
I know, dude. Well, you know, child's a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, like part of me felt like, well, in my head canon is that reverse that flamethrower guy exhausted the poor kid. So he was true. Just like, you know, that's I'm tired. True. He, you know, that's canon that every time he has to heal.
Or every time he uses his force powers, he kind of like
has to take a nap.
He has to take a nap.
That sounds very familiar.
Another episode I really liked was episode 2, The Child. And one of the reasons is you kind of mentioned the action sequences. The child at the very end is the one where everything seemed lost, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Mandalorians come in and they save everybody. And it was cool action sequence seeing everybody, you know, being Mandalorians, you know, kicking ass, killing all of these stormtroopers. And I distinctly remember that there's a scene where they were like, well, the coven's now gone, you know, so it's time to find a new one. And so I was like, yes, so they're going to be all out there. And then episode 8, guess what? No.
They're all dead.
Like, what the hell just happened?
I mean, you know, when you reveal your base.
Yeah.
I guess.
You're shooting yourself in the foot, apparently. Okay, on the flip side, I know it sounds like all the episodes were really solid. Any of them that you guys felt lacking or was a little short? I'll start off by, I think the one that I thought could have been a little bit better thrown out or at least put together was the episode with the gunslinger. So that was the episode where we meet a young, or you know, a first-time bounty hunter.
Oh, the wannabe Han Solo?
Yeah, so yeah. I was just like, I know that's a trope, and I know this. It was one of those, like, and like we mentioned, a lot of the shows or a lot of the episodes were kind of cliched, paint-by-the-numbers one, but very well done. This one, unfortunately, was, I think, on the other side of that, where we kind of knew where it was going. We kind of knew that this young guy was going to betray the Mandalorian because of greed or whatever, but it kind of felt like maybe it was just the guy who played the young actor, and maybe part, like I mentioned earlier, I was kind of hoping for more Ming-Na Wen because I stan her. So, you know, I was really hoping that it was going to be a little bit better, a little less expectations. But, you know, like I said, in the scheme of a really great series, that one was, for me, the one that kind of felt lacking the most.
You know who that guy is, right?
No. No.
You know, is the guy from The Mandalorian.
Yeah, but his, you know who his dad is? Mm-mm. His dad is a Bobby Cannavale. Cannavale?
Oh, the yeah,
the
yeah,
guy
yeah.
That's in all the movies.
Yeah, he was like, well, he's
In Ant Man.
Yeah, Ant Man's stepdad or stepdad. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, he's in Bush, but okay.
And that's his. Like that's his. Yeah, he looks just like.
Yeah,
like
I'm saying, in a few years he's gonna look
like. I was watching Jumanji: The Next Level.
That's you know him,
he's,
that's right.
He's
yeah,
he's the main guy. Bad guy in that movie. And then I was watching, and I was just like, if you progress his son, just like him.
I kind of agree. That's the only weak episode that I thought that they had. There were some moments in the Sanctuary that felt kind of slow, but I think that was intentional, just because that was the style, that was the trope, I guess.
Oh, yeah, used.
That it had to be kind of like where the small chance that maybe, just maybe, that the Mandalorian is gonna, you know, stay with a woman.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna find peace, you know, yeah. Quiet. Peace,
everything. Which would have been nice.
Yeah, which would have been cool. But, you know, but in the end, aside from that, it's been a pretty solid eight episodes.
That episode actually triggered me because, I say triggered, because there was a sniper hiding in the corner when he was about to take him out. And in my head, I was like, who's the teammate that's not looking out for snipers? That's right. Play a lot of Call of Duty, guys.
Way my son much. Camping. If he was a bounty
hunter. Is that Lewis's son?
Hold on. Camping in the dark.
Can we give Amy Sedaris her credit for looking just like Ripley?
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Because I was like, wow. Not even trying to hide that fact, I guess.
The green jumpsuit, the afro. Yes. Just like, wow, dude.
And she's being a mother to Newt. I mean, to the baby. It's crazy.
The only other negative thing I guess I can say is maybe it's because it's such a shortened season. The jump from, you know, the jump from Mando being hunted to, hey, let's welcome you back to try to do this, to all of a sudden, hey, you're welcome to come back anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. Seemed just a tad bit a little forced, but it still worked for me. And I guess the last thing I kind of want to mention is that I really love the direction that it seems like Mandalorian 2 is going to go.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we can kind of touch upon.
Let's
now.
Go
like,
for it.
You know, the fact that now, you know, first and foremost, by the way, thing I don't like, let's go back to I don't like. I hate the fact that you bring in my favorite character and then kill him off again.
Which one?
IG-11. IG-11 was like, it was already there. You already had, remember, I remember watching first episode and saying, dude, that was the show I want. I want it to be IG-11, Mando, and the kid, like on the run, you know.
Like a buddy comedy.
And then all of a sudden you have, now I'm the nurse. Perfect.
Yeah.
You have the guy that's not gonna care about anything until something happens to Baby Yoda, and then you're gonna kick ass. Perfect setup. No, let's go back to the killing, like the story thing. Like, I don't know.
His memory lives on
in my heart.
Maybe they saved his memory in an R2 unit.
Maybe the R2 unit that was on the back of that.
Yeah.
That was, by the way, that's pushing the Venice in the Venice canals over there.
That scared the crap out of me too, by the way. When that R2 unit started standing, I'm like, oh my god, they have legs. Jesus, what is this? Abomination.
Dude, the only thing I can think of was that, was that a 3PO unit? Because if in my head now it's R2 with a body of a of C-3PO.
That's an R2 and C-3PO spent a little too much time on Endor.
We're best friends now.
That's their baby.
Glad you cleared that up for a minute. what about what do you call it? Moth. What's his name?
Moth Gideon. Gideon. Yes.
His reveal at the very end of the season.
I love the character. I don't know why, but while he was talking, like, I was like, this is, first and foremost, this is the most eloquent Moth we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was, and the way he was talking, it was almost like he was condescending, mm-hmm. but like the nicest guy.
He's patronizing.
Like the nicest guy you've ever met. I'm like, I want to give up. I shall give up too.
I will walk out of this cantina. What happened?
He gave them options.
I know, dude. You know why you like them? Because he sounded like a teacher. Like
I think you're right, dude.
You're like, he's my guy.
Yeah,
he's
like,
that's me as a Moth.
You can't trust me, but you know, I need. There are certain things I need.
He will shoot you if you speak out of line.
You know what? So I mentioned to these guys before that you know, beware of the internet for spoilers, because literally I was playing video games till 1 o'clock, and then so like at 1 o'clock, I, you know, the episode had already posted.
PM.
Oh, okay, yeah, PM, okay. PM. That's even worse. It means I played throughout the night. But one of the episode I already posted, and someone on my Twitter timeline had just posted Darksaber.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, man. Oh, sorry, she's a girl. Come on, girl. Like, if anything, it's not the biggest surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's certainly fascinating, but just seeing that in general would have been, at least for me, would have been a nice.
Yeah, I loved that reveal. So it's like weird, you know, circumstantial timing that my son and I were actually binging Rebels because you recommended it. I think I said, you know, I want to either start Clone Wars or Rebels. You said do Rebels, which is great because we actually finished it. It's been a lot of Star Wars just last week. We did Skywalker, Rebels, and Mandalorian. But yeah, after seeing Rebels, knowing that... Have you seen Rebels? Or
I've seen the first two episodes.
So I'm like, trying to work on it. The reveal of the Darksaber is such a loaded, awesome statement for at least fans who... You know, or the folks who have watched or know that, you know, that means this dude is what? He's the leader of the Mandalorians? I mean, you're our Star Warsologist here. So,
Well, it means that chances are he killed the leader of the Mandalorians.
Right. So, because the Darksaber for, you know, let's go a little loose views on that one, is, I guess, the lightsaber of the only Mandalorian Jedi ever. So, and it, excuse me, after that Mandalorian Jedi passed away centuries or however long ago, that became like the heirloom, where I guess the little crown or whomever leads the Mandalorian wields the Darksaber. So the reveal when he cuts himself out of his TIE fighter with the Darksaber, my son and I are like, what? So yeah, like you're right. So that means he might have, you know, killed off the female.
Or he himself is a Mandalorian.
Right.
The implications are both fantastic. Whichever way you can go with that storyline, it's great.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, that's another one of the plot lines. Let's go into that now, I guess, is that they kind of... I mean, maybe I'm missing some of my mythology, but they did imply that the Empire had a fight, obviously, or had a war with the Mandalorians. That's why all the Beskar was gone, and that's why all the Mandalorians are in hiding. So I'd love to see if maybe that guy had anything to do with it, or maybe he, you know, he was one of the reasons why the Mandalorians were hunted. Maybe dude... betrayed the rest of the Mandalorians. Oh, guy, come on. Sorry.
You know what they don't have in Mandalore? Lawnmowers.
Leaf blowers.
Leaf blowers right out the window right here.
I feel so hated right now. I was like, please stop gardening, guy. All right, sorry. Have you listened to that Kevin and Bean episode when, like, Bean's the one, or who's the one that records remotely?
Bean.
And, like, same thing, like, some gardener comes and starts doing this stuff. I'm sorry, why is he hanging out there? Can you move this?
Everybody,
I'm such a jerk. I was like, hey, I know you're working for a living, but move.
I know there's the only lawn in this area is right behind us.
I don't know why he's...
There's nothing back here, man.
Sorry.
You know, it's funny if we don't edit this part.
We're not just planning it. So I'm more hilarious.
So the lawnmowers are just like in the Darksaber.
Put pain in Lewis's voice, dude.
You see the propane in Lewis's voice? He's not Nick Nolte.
I'm not Bobby Hill.
I was about to make more noise, open this goober thing. But
you should have timed it when the guy...
I was trying, man, but... But apparently my kryptonite is plastic openings on goobers.
Here's some goobers.
So I'm just going to leave that one.
You need a dark saber.
Okay, so the sound the sound that you hear is goobers being poured. Dude, what the? I don't know.
That's a lot of nuts.
I want to exacerbate your diabetes. Yes.
Just exacerbate in front of each other.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, okay. Dark sabers.
That's called a saber jerk.
So, and part of me also felt like, I mean, I know it's getting my series kind of, you know, tangled up, but, you know, part of me also geeked out at the potential of, like, Sabine Wren, or one of those folks from Rebels showing up in the show, because I think it's one of your criticisms from the early on, is that you wanted a show that was maybe as far away from the Force/Star Wars, you know, main movies as possible, and then when they introduce Yoda, you're like, oh, a little bit. But hopefully, yeah, this is their avenue to go, like, let's go Mandalore. Because, yes, Rebels and, you know, the Clone Wars animated show kind of delved into it a little bit and whatnot. But, you know, with this new Disney Plus streaming service and with all the hype that this show is getting, you know, they have a whole new audience to kind of cater towards. And, you know, it would be a great, you know, world building. Like, kind of like how, you know, in the Marvel Universe, not that, you know, they're apples to apples per se, but, you know, it's nice that, yes, you establish the superheroes on Earth, but, you know, Guardians also established that, yes, there are off-world planets, or, you know, Thor established that there's other realms and there's whatnot, and so this would be good. I think it would be a good avenue for them to kind of explore and see what else is out there in the world of Mandalore.
Did you finish Rebels?
Yes, I have.
You sure?
I sure have.
You know Sabine can't be around, right?
Wait, what? What do you mean? Because at the end of Rebels, so it's a fast forward to the end, and then
which is right after Return,
right?
Which is pretty much when Mandalorian comes in.
Yeah, but she flies off with Ahsoka to find Ezra. Right?
Yeah, and so he can't be around unless the area is going to be where Mandalorian is.
Oh, you're right.
And maybe that's how they're going to find Ezra, but I don't know.
That's true. Maybe we'll know. I think that was one of the, actually going back to Harold's question earlier about who picked up Ming-Na's body or whatnot. I think Ezra was on that, you know, wish list of people on Reddit. It's like, maybe it's this guy. But so yeah, anyway, well, thanks for crushing my hopes.
Well, no, that's what I do. That's what I do.
My dreams.
And I also did dig, by the way, how she changed her hair in that whole show. Very classy. I like that about Sabine. But yeah.
So, by the way, so now that you've seen it, why on earth does everybody have their helmets on off in Rebels?
In Rebels, it's
Is the creed only after Return of the Jedi?
Yeah. Actually, I think Harold's right. After they killed off so many Mandalorians, they figured, you know what? Let's keep the helmets on. Turns out impervious to headshots.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Can't get a long distance headshot.
Got a helmet on, too.
I'm going to get right in that little beady eye thing.
I bet you, unfortunately, that's how Sabine goes out, because she gets taken out by some camper named, yeah.
It's not like I was going to watch it anyway.
Your son,
yes, I was. Because he has, like I said, it's been like a weird Star Wars week, because he just finished Battlefront as well, or Battlefront 2 as well.
So, whoa.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. So I'm kind of jealous that you guys got Fallen Order. I might go pick it up now. Or I'm just going to ask my mom. Because that's how I roll.
We're at Best Buy, man.
I know, dude. You're right. After the fact. Anyway. Where were we?
He bought Goobers, so.
Oh, I know, sure. Dude. That's a whole $3 right there, dude.
At least you don't know to it.
No, you're not.
Yeah, the Goobers that are now stained my hand. And it looks like I took a poop.
You abstained.
And I couldn't find a banana leaf, you know what I'm saying?
Goobers.
I'm going to take a time out for real quick while I wash my hand.
Good, guys. Party on. Okay, well, this is... I think this is the first time in any episode where we stopped. Well, anything else that you want to talk about, Lewis, before we go? I think we can finish the episode sans Harold.
Where do you think they're going to go with this one, then?
So Mando
flies off.
Well, here's the thing. One thing that nobody's ever, and I don't know if Harold's listening, but one thing they haven't explained is how on earth is everybody... Is everybody GPS'd? Or is Mando just so stupid that he has like a tracking fob on himself? That, you know, like, why?
You can't say that word, guys.
We can.
We came on
the You can't.
That's our word.
That is literally our word. No, but how?
You can't say the R word.
Like, you know, there was a track, like, he was like, well, we don't have the fob for it, but we know the, we, like, at the beginning of the first episode, we know where he was.
Mm-hmm. How?
You know, if really you knew where it was, first and foremost, just send your whole garrison there.
Right.
You know. And then when Sanctuary, it was the very same thing. He was like, they made a big deal about, oh, this is a perfect place. There's nobody around here, but yet he was found.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now that we don't have, now that everybody's died, you know, except for the moth, what, you know, is there still a tracking fob on Mando and the baby? And if so, is it just going to be one of those, is it just going to be a continuation, like an A-Team type thing where, you know, yes, I did an A-Team reference, where they go around and they save, you know, people.
They do the jobs that others can't.
Exactly.
I think that probably the baby's the fob.
He does have an accent. We haven't heard him talking.
But at the same time, like, I think
there's a midichlorian tracker.
There might be.
Oh God!
You know what I mean? I hope they don't go that route.
I mean, but that is how they were able to find all the Jedi's.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
there was a way to do it. So.
Yeah, the Cerebro.
So that, you're getting me all mixed up. Is that different?
But you know, like,
oh, Cerebro is the machine in X-Men.
Yes.
You freaking casual.
It's also what I say when I hit somebody. Cerebro. Sorry, that's it. That's all I got.
Unplug the mic.
I know.
We got a new pro.
Good night.
But I really think it might be, like, nobody was. They found him. I think they found him in Sanctuary because of the battle that occurred. You know what I mean? So, like, the battle occurs, the people that are trying to, that are attacking them at the moment are like, hey, is that the guy fighting us, a Mandalorian? And it's like, hey, you know, shout this out into the universe. And anybody looking for a Mandalorian?
Hashtag Mando.
Yeah. If you guys, are you looking for Orlando-lorian? Or his brother Armando-lorian? So it's like, you know.
So Orlando-lorian is the Cuban Mandalorian? Yes.
And then Armando Lorian is like a Puerto Rican. So, you know, they're looking out for some Hispanic dudes out in the universe. What if he names the child after himself? Or he makes the child a Mandalorian?
You're not going to be able to do that because unless they cut out some holes for the ears. There's no marketing where there's going to be a baby Mando. You know, there's always going to be baby Yoda.
But imagine a baby Yoda wearing a Mandalorian helmet.
That would be adorable.
Shaped with the ears.
Sticking out. Dude. But speaking of icons, by the way, when the armorer was telling him, I have your sigil, I thought it was going to be like Yoda's head. And it was going to be so adorable.
The ears?
Yes. Like the oblong.
Where have I seen that logo from?
I don't. I think it's supposed to be his, like, hands. I guess it almost looks like.
Looks like a woolly mammoth.
Was it?
I don't know.
No. The little medallion that he gave Kara.
Oh, sorry, I'm really wrong.
Yeah, that's the, but like when the armor is saying I figure out your sigil, it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be Baby Yoda's like little outstretched hand looking like a claw, but it looks like Red Lobster.
So it's the claw.
It's the claw.
Anything else that we want to talk about before we end? And before that, Gardner comes back and
does a second round.
Before more chocolate melts into my hand.
I can hear Mormon up, dude.
You say no. You can hear Mormon up?
Yes, dude.
Oh, warming up.
So you have Armandalorian. We have Orlandalorian.
We have Mormon.
And then you have Amandalorian, you said. Right? You know Amandalorian's middle name? Or maiden name?
Scared.
Hug and kiss.
Oops. Let's wrap it up.
No.
Yes. No, that's her maiden name.
That's what I thought. I said maiden. No,
you said middle name.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just replay this.
It was her middle name, Amanda Hug and Kiss Lorian.
Did you just fart?
Did the mic fix that?
There it is.
Was that the
chair? Let's see if this high tech setup picked that up.
Was that the chair?
Yeah, that was a chair. Dude.
Whatever, right. Loose.
We all got the same chair, right?
No, dude.
Nope. Only Lewis is fine.
Nope, that's
Well, that is it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our new episode. Let us know if you thought that the quality of sound changed any, because if not, I want to get my money back.
Not the quality of content. We already know
that's, well, that's hot garbage. We're still terrible, but at the very least, if there's any a smidgen improvement of the way we sound, if it doesn't sound like we're, you know, in a cave anymore, then, you know, let us know. And usually, again, this is where I talk about, you know, a website that has gone in the past. Unfortunately, we have decided to let that go, just like
Frozen.
Elsa. I know, for Elsa.
Like IG-11 down the lava river.
So. I said, do you have to explode? Blow up. So
is there something up with the manufacturing go automatically blow its stuff if it's on a gondola?
Pretty extreme, dude.
Well, my only... The location, can't he just have written, you know, typed it up?
I know, couldn't they just pull that bomb out of IG-11's chest and, like, throw it at him? No.
All right, give it to me real quick. Like, I could throw it at these guys. It's going to hit all of them the same, right?
Or Instagram. Speaking of which, on Facebook, find us Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual every time the podcast posted there. Not to mention our Facebook group. Feel free to join us if you like our content and you want to speak to other like-minded folks who love nerd stuff, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, comics, movies, TV. Join us. Join in on the conversation and let's make friends.
Friends?
I know, dude. It's so old to make friends.
On Twitter and IG, both? What the hell? At Two Fanboys, One Casual.
IG!
Sorry. IG. Our IG is 11.
That is it for us today. Hopefully you enjoy the episode. As usual, this is Two Fanboys and the Filthy Cat. My name is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
That was a good segue, by the way.
Which one?
You don't even remember.
No, I missed my
voice. Never mind. You did the IG 11 to...